And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spike's Car Radio. It's Wednesday, but here it's Friday where we're at. We have a great show for you guys. It's good to be with you. Here we are alive, as the pandemic rages on, Zuckerman. We've all made it through.
That is the real Squid Game.
It is the real Squid Game, the ultimate Squid Game. Do you like, you haven't watched the Squid Game,
have
you?
I'm going to start it this week.
You know, Squid Game, let's just talk about Squid Game, because I am in entertainment sometimes. Squid Game came to me when my 11-year-old came in after watching TikTok and said, can I watch Squid Game? And I said, you know, I've seen that on Netflix. What is that? He goes, oh, you know, it's a really cool show. Can I watch it? I said, sure, no problem. And then Erica heard, Squid Game, what's that rated? It's TVMA. And I said, let me watch one, and then I'll tell you whether you can watch it. Right? And it's, you know, if you haven't seen Squid Game, I don't know why. First of all, it's the first kind of global hit I think the world of entertainment has seen, where it is just a hit around the world. It is this the story of degenerate gamblers who are rounded up in South Korea, brought to an island, and they compete in a series of children's games, mostly South Korean, but some that you can relate to, like Red Light, Green Light. And if you lose, there are 400 of them. If you lose, they shoot you at the end of the round and then carve up the bodies for parts and organs. And then the pot gets bigger and they suspend the money on the ceiling above you. And each game, there are only six rounds, I think, you end up getting won. Like it's 450 billion won, right?
That's a lot of money.
I put a four in that Google search line, and it went 450 won to USD. That's what the whole world is Googling every night, is what is that worth? I think I have it right. Or maybe it's 800 won.
It's
I can't remember.
Money.
It's 430
it is,
million
money.
Or something like that. But that's how big it is. One number in that Google search line, and Google knew what I was looking for. Isn't that wild?
My son came to me and he said, "Have you watched Squid Game?" I said, "I saw the trailer and I knew that the guys in the masks were going to kill all those poor people." And he said, "Well, that's true, but there's a lot of steps in between." And he said, "You got to watch it because the steps are good."
But it's the contestants too. So then, you know, I had to tell James, "You can't watch it. It's for 18 plus." And he's like, "I've seen most of it on TikTok anyway." So I said, "All right, don't tell Mom that."
I'm rewatching Game of Thrones right now. It's very good. Very good.
This is a better version of Games of Thrones. There's no dragons. There's no story.
No
it's
dragons.
Just
lame.
A really great story about humanity and characters.
Degenerate gamblers getting killed. Which
you know, you could really call this the Zuckermans versus the other team. Like there's a team of Zuckermans in Squid Game, and then there's a team of the good guys.
Now, are they all degenerate gamblers they've rounded up? Or some of them?
Some are criminals, but what happens early on is they team up inside the game to work together, like any reality show. And the bad guys and girls are on one team, and the sort of the ones who are sympathetic that we like are on the other team.
I hope
but
those
like,
people
make no
die.
Mistake, and I'm sure you've all seen it at this point, everybody except one person gets their head blown off, and they show it.
In Game of Thrones, if you're a bad guy, you go to the wall.
Stop trying to redirect to Game of Thrones. We don't care.
And everyone gets their head cut off.
Had you not seen that?
No, I'm rewatching it. It's fantastic.
Watch Squid Game.
Anyway. Squid Game.
I haven't seen it. I can't, you know.
My whole life is Squid Game, Ferriston. My whole life is basically that.
It's really not. Because you make a mistake and they just put a gun to your head and then they take you away.
Okay. Would you, except in my world, or in my business, personal injury, you make a mistake, they take your money away, and then you take your own gun and blow your head off. That would basically be the
result. Zuckerman Games. Why isn't anybody making a game about me? It's all about me, Zuckerman. You watch Squid Game, Zuckerman, and you'll see a lot of yourself reflected in that humanity. And by like the fifth episode, you really start to think about life in a completely different way. And maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Wait.
I was in the middle of a thought. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But I think what they're trying to say is use your life wisely. Make your choices wisely. And it's not necessarily about money. Life isn't about money.
This is an allegory. You're talking that this show is an allegory for life. You once complained to me that your father Fats, learned everything there was to learn about watching movies. And he'd come to you and say, Spike, I saw this movie. You need to act this way. And you said, my poor father, he had no guidance in life except for what he saw in the movies. And he believed life was about watching the movies and learning how to live. And now you're telling me to
and
watch.
And Godfather specifically.
Yes.
Live by the code of the Godfather.
Bad code.
And
that's
then you're telling me, you're telling me now, after all of these years of enlightenment that you've engaged in, watch Squid Games and you'll know how to live life.
No, I'm saying there's a deeper level to it as far as entertainment. I'm not learning anything from it other than I'd love to unlock that format and make some money on it. I'm impressed. Like, I really, I'm watching it like, God, how did they do that? Because how did they get the world's attention all at once on social media and on Netflix? How did they do it? What did it cost? Who are the stars? What are the new rules? I love it.
I bet it costs a lot of money.
I don't think it did. It looks kind of cheap. But there goes. Okay, Johnny's here with his son. His son is now coming up. Let's introduce the show. We're excited to be with you guys. By the way, Squid Game is not one of our sponsors.
But Blue Chew is.
No, they're not either. Today's show
is sponsored by, I'm going to look at the list, Sartini Delicious Cigars.
Oh, Manscaped, Hodinkee wants us to say hello, Mack Weldon, and it's a good one. Look, it's all our friends, ExpressVPN. you probably noticed this amazing watch I have on my hand.
Gorgeous.
The Kermit with a C, Cerachrome, green. There's so much confusion around this watch and what you call it and the nicknames. It's hilarious. But I got it from Chronic Caliber, and when I did, they said, hey, would you just mention that Hodinkee is now selling pre-owned? You know Hodinkee bought Chronic Caliber?
Unbelievable.
Hodinkee pre-owned now is a thing. They're not going to have all the watches Chronic Caliber have, but I guess they're going to have a curated little bunch, and they're going to be upping the quantity soon and the quality of pre-owned watches available online and anywhere. They're going to authenticate service every pre-owned watch, making it easier than ever to find your grail. So if you're at shop.hodinkee.com, just know that pre-owned stuff is now gone through. It's sorted, pre-sorted for you.
They are a watch juggernaut.
They didn't even pay for an ad. I just wanted to say that. I like those guys.
I was on Hodinkee. I was featured on Hodinkee the other day.
We had Hodinkee on there before Hodinkee was anything.
Yeah. And
they were halfway.
Hodinkee has the only other Zagato.
That's right. We like that guy.
Let's talk about this live wire that I've been riding. And I was very confused about it. Do you even guys know about this electric motorcycle?
I know that Harley is trying to pivot because their user base is dying off for various reasons.
Besides riding motorcycles.
Besides riding motorcycles.
Besides the product itself.
It's interesting because they started this motorcycle. Everybody, when I posted it, they were saying, yeah, but it's too expensive. And I'm like, oh, it's not so bad. It's only $21, $22. But they were talking about the original Harley Davidson Livewire, which I thought I had and I don't, right? The Harley Davidson, they announced recently that Livewire is going to become its own brand. Okay. So that first Harley Davidson Livewire, you can tell because across the gas tank, a lot of them were orange color. They've discontinued. It says Harley Davidson on it. Now it says Livewire. And the bike I have is the Livewire 1, which starts at $21,999. It's $22. Okay. It's cheaper. So that's the first difference of this thing. And it's a really cool looking bike. And I didn't know any. I've never ridden an electric motorcycle before. And they dropped it off. And I had to run to a tennis lesson in that Sunset Boulevard traffic. And I jammed between cars in tight, tight lane splitting on that thing.
We're going to have to find a new host.
I know.
No, it'll just be over. Finally. Finally, after all these weeks of suffering,
look,
it's over.
There's a kid just walked.
Okay, everyone know Lieberman's kid is through the wall of glass with his pants off.
I'm completely
and his
off.
Shmecky hanging out, and he's covered in jelly. How did the jelly get on your son's wiener?
How did it go wrong so quick? We left him in the living room. This is a bunch of dads taking care of. How old is that kid? Five?
Four. Richard's four. He's covered in jelly and he's naked.
He's nude from the waist down while we're talking about electric Harleys.
Wearing nothing but jelly.
See, I told you the entertainment possibilities of this night, Zuckerman. And if I haven't explained it to you, Johnny's babysitter canceled. We really insisted on recording on Friday night, and Johnny was nice enough to just bring him over. Zuckerman's on edge, because not only are we ashing near his white couches, but now there's a kid with jelly in his living room. And now he's nude from the waist down.
I said to Lieberman, you give the kid jelly. It was like half a jar of jelly on Zuckerman. A plate. And I said, you give the kid jelly, and he says, yeah, I told him to be careful. Okay, I'm 56. I can't be careful with jelly. The kid is four.
Take this gun, but don't pull the trigger. Be very careful with the jelly. You know what it usually means? Your kids are a little older than mine. Mine are now past that stage. But usually when they're nude from the waist down, it means they just went to the bathroom somewhere.
He took a gick on my couch.
I don't know what he did, but Johnny has now disappeared into the kitchen and not returning. I would guess there has been some sort of mess.
Okay, folks, I think what's happened is so extreme. Johnny has taken his kid. He's gone in the car and he's left, and he will never be heard from again. He's off the show.
I don't know where to go. I was in the middle of talking about the Live Wire one, and then the little Live Wire walked in. Oh, that was just amazing. What's that kid's name?
Richard.
I can't wait till Richard grows up and listens to this show. Richard, you're going to be so entertained by this. All right, let me tell you about the Harley, the LiveWire, because it's not the Harley-Davidson LiveWire anymore. It comes in white and black, and on the gas tank it says LiveWire 1, and it has a little key that you pop in your pocket. It has a little charger under the seat, Zuckerman. Ask me some questions about this, because it's really interesting. It's kind of hard for me to describe the experience of this thing.
Okay, so does it have any relation in terms of looks to Harley? Are there Harley motifs anymore, or they've made a clean break?
It looks like a motorcycle. Like, it looks like a loud motorcycle.
But does it look like a loud Harley motorcycle?
Not exactly, but I don't mind that.
Right.
But what happens is you sit on it, right? There's a two-button turn-on thing. The screen tells you what to do. You turn on the power, and then you turn on this other button, right? And you know it's ready to move when it gives you a haptic response in the butt. Like, your butt starts going, boop, 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 I'm ready to move. It has no shifter. And it has no clutch, which is also a little off-putting.
I would not want to feel the motorcycle through my anus.
No. All it's telling you is a little haptic response so you don't take your hands off the grips. I'm ready to move. And it's small, and it stops when you go.
Why can't they do that through the grips?
Okay, stop asking me questions.
I'm going to tell you
something. It does.
Remember how we talked about the Lucid, and I was really anti. But just yesterday, I went to coffee in the morning, and I saw one of these electric motorcycles there, and it wasn't a Live Wire, but that thing was cool. I'm going to say the electric motorcycle, there was where the gas tank would be, there was some wood. The design of it was really, really good. Right. I really appreciate it, and
so
I said, that's
let me,
something
let me,
I could
key,
do.
Guys, let me just run through the stats here, because I'm not done going through the bike. The 2021 Live Wire 1. You get on this thing. Think about what I just said, Zuckerman. No gear shifts. You just open it up. For those of you guys who have electric bikes and have had that little experience, that ride up to 25, this is a ride up to about 110. It just is one fluid acceleration and a Jetson noise. Now, the first time I rode it, the disconnect between the way this thing looks and then the way it sounds was almost too much to get over. Like, you rode a motorcycle, Zuckerman. Yes. You know, when you get on it, you expect a sound and a feeling. Yeah. This is a zzzz with a belt drive that vibrated a little too much, and it just goes. And you feel like, God, I'm on my electric bicycle, but it's more substantial and it's faster. And then, you know, when you read about it a little bit, you realize it's this urban motorcycle experience. You start to want to ride it all the time. It's got 146 miles to the charge. Like I said, the comfort level is, it's one of those upright bikes, very, very comfortable. Curb weight's 562, which is a little heavy. 0 to 60, 3.1 seconds. which you have to be careful. Again, it's this electric speed that you get. I Seinfeld saw it on Instagram. He said, "I don't want you riding that thing. We got a movie to make." Very good point.
You know, that's a great point.
Stop riding motorcycles. Half joking. But I did take it down to the airport to show him and let him jump on it.
And?
How did he respond, Zuckerman?
He must have loved it.
He loved it. It's not something I expected him to like. It makes me want to put you on it, too, as well.
I know I'll like it. And I don't know why I feel differently about electric motorcycles and electric cars, but I do.
Because
I have no idea why you feel different.
If you're a fan of electric bicycles and you find yourself going, "I really want something to go faster," don't do it on the bike platform because it's not as stable as this thing. This is fun. I haven't recharged the damn thing yet, and I've been buzzing around town in it all day. What do you got, Zuckerman?
No, I was going to say, Johnny asked me why. I said I find the bike appealing, a car doesn't. You know why I like the bike? Because I like the way it looks. But these electric cars, I do not like the way they look.
Not yet.
Not yet. That's right. It doesn't appeal to me.
So, but I think that, if you look at, the boilerplate, the Tesla Model S, good-looking sedan, right? It's a hatchback sedan.
Okay.
It's good-looking. Classic already. Icon.
I disagree, but...
But, the Lucid, that's pretty neat-looking. It's got some, French vibes to it. And then, the Rivian is... What's cool about the Rivian is... Because you're changing the packaging so much, there's no engine. You have this giant frunk. You can put stuff behind. There's a tunnel that goes across the entire thing, but in front of the bed. So what's going to start happening is because the packaging is so different,
right.
you can radically change the looks
and
of the cars.
So I guess with the motorcycle, you can do that quicker. I will tell you, there is one electric vehicle that I like the looks of, and that's the Mustang Mach-E.
Okay.
Ooh,
yeah.
I hate that one.
No, I like it.
I don't like the Lucid either. I don't disagree with you.
You got to see the Lucid in person.
The design of stuff has to look modern. I get they have to do it, but I've yet to see the one that makes me go, wow.
Right, I want that.
I think it's going to be something that looks like a GT3 RS that ends up being electric or something that we recognize those design
cues. What I don't understand, though, is why would this motorcycle vibrate with an electric engine?
Okay, I think you misunderstand. It's just the haptic that hits your butt is just so you know that when you touch that grip, it's going to go.
No. You told me that when you were driving, there was too much vibration.
No.
You said the belt drive.
The belt drive through the acceleration, I'm not sure. I mean, again, not knowing much about why they choose belts. The Zero motorcycle has that too. That would not be my way to make this thing move. I would eliminate the belt. I'm sure they have a reason for it.
Direct drive or chain or what?
Yeah, because, not surprisingly, when you have electric anythings, you have a silent driving experience. And then you have a new set of sounds that you have to deal with. Wind. Obviously, if you listen to music, it sounds better because you're not hearing stuff. But the way the car moves and any of the suspension are critical because you're going to hear everything that happens.
You hear a lot more.
And that little belt on acceleration, just on acceleration and fast acceleration, and maybe it's just not adjusted right, goes just for a second. Okay. And I don't like that.
But it probably does it on all bikes, but the sound of a two-cylinder is usually drowning it out.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that, I was just thinking, why use the belt? Why not have a direct drive, right?
I have no idea. But, I was just going to say, when I drove that BMW iX, I was on the Autobahn in an unlimited stretch. So I set the cruise at, 110 or whatever. And it was weird to be going that fast in complete silence. Because normally, when you get a car up over 100 miles an hour, there's so much engine and exhaust and intake noise. And it's just, silent. It was bizarre. It was like being in a plane. It was really cool.
Is there wind noise, or have they solved that?
That's the thing. The look that we're talking about that people aren't liking with the electric cars, they're trying to make them so efficient that there's a lot less wind noise in modern EVs than there would be in an X5.
Right.
Is shaped like a brick, essentially, comparatively. This has a drag coefficient of 0.25, so it's super slippery for an SUV, so not a lot. There's tire noise. But not even that much, because it's on low rolling resistance tires and all that. So it was cool.
Do you know what's spookier than seeing a black hat on Halloween? How about Johnny Lieberman's kid nude from the waist down? No, it's shaving your balls with anything other than Manscaped.
You look just like my kid.
What happened to him, by the way? Why did he have his pants off?
He was using the restroom and he was confused about it being different than our house.
So where did he go?
He didn't know how to flush it.
Oh, but he went in the toilet. He didn't go in the rug or the sink or anything.
He just didn't know. There was no handle because you have a top thing. So he'd never seen that before, and he was confused.
Look at Zuckerman. Oh, Zuckerman. Okay.
I'm just wondering.
What would Moise do, Zuckerman? What would our friend Moise do?
Moise would actually change the toilet.
He would change the toilet. That's not a joke.
For the people listening, though, I said, let's not do it tonight. I can't get a babysitter. My wife's out of town.
And I already said it.
I've said all of this while you were gone. We said nothing but nice things about you. Everybody appreciates that you showed up.
Uh-huh.
And I knew the entertainment value when you did it. I'm so excited.
I'm going to find feces and jelly.
Zuckerman upset a kid with jelly and feces. This is great.
Feces and jelly.
And cigars.
The dog's licking the feces off his fingers. Don't worry.
Anyway, when it comes to below the waist grooming, nobody beats Johnny's kid. If you want to look like you're four, you need to go to manscaped.com. 2 million men worldwide are going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code SPIKE20. Oh boy, it's true.
Should be SPIKE4.
The Performance Package 4.0 includes the Weed Whacker, a total game changer to your men's hygiene arsenal. Seal the deal with Manscaped's Liquid Formations. Their Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner will make your pumpkin stay fresh. Trust me when I say this, fellas. Your balls will thank you. Did you know there are Manscaped boxers and a shed travel bag? I have that travel bag.
The travel bag's awesome.
You know, all the sponsors in this show, I actually am now a customer. I've signed up for all of this
real
stuff.
Quick, that travel bag is like 10% bigger than a regular travel bag, which is what I always need. It's great.
And it's got that upper zipper and that nice shape to it. I also use their Shears 2.0 nail kit. It's great stuff, guys. Life-changing products. Don't take my word for it. Try it yourself. 20% off. Free shipping with the code SPIKE20 at manscaped.com. SPIKE20 at manscaped.com. 20% off. Free shipping. SPIKE20 at manscaped.com. Wow. Treat your beautiful new Halloweeny with Manscaped. Halloweeny, Richard.
And you too.
Happy Halloween.
You look like a 4-year-old running around naked in Zuckerman's house.
Oh, boy.
Wow. We've done a lot of show, and we still have more.
Let me look
and see my notes. Where are we going? Mm. Why don't we just go? Johnny, why don't you tell us what you've been up to? You always have a nice adventure for us during the week.
Well,
where have you been? What have you been doing?
I went to New Mexico, and I did the 300 SL Classic.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So is that
part of the Gullwing Club?
It is the Gullwing Club,
You weren't at Audrain.
No. I did this instead.
So tell us what the event is.
It's a bunch of people that own 300 SL, so that means the Classic. So
the Gullwing Group, I should say.
The W198s, so the actual original Gullwings and Roadsters. And it was a good split. It was actually like half and half. I thought...
You know, when they originally founded that organization, it was only for Gullwings, and Roadster people could not join until many years later.
Guess what? They just announced, and it's still controversial, that they're going to let the SLS, the one from like a decade ago, in.
No.
They are, because they're Gullwings. They're Mercedes Gullwings.
That's not fair.
That's not right.
But they're going to have some events that are classics only.
Well, the problem is that their membership is in their 7th, 8th, and 9th decade.
They're not young.
They're not young.
But I did meet a guy named Egon, who is 92, who is the fastest guy there.
Egon, when I was part of that group, he was one of the original guys. Because the original owner. When they got those cars back in the day, in the 50s, no one knew how to work on them. And these folks had to band together to figure out how to service their own vehicles.
You were part of this group? What does that mean? Was it an email chain?
When I first got a Gullwing, I was contacted by them. Somehow, they knew I had
it. We heard you got one. You want to join our little group?
Yeah, no, actually,
with Swiggins and Peabody?
Half are Jews.
Of course, because we're fascinated by this Nazi machine. And
which came out 9 years after Hitler died, so everyone's
clear. So anyway, I joined. It's some nominal to get the newsletter. And the newsletter...
You had to pay a fee.
Yeah, it was a nominal fee.
I can't believe you did this.
I was really happy to have a Gullwing first.
No, I know you were happy to have the car, but I can't imagine you wanting to be contacted by people.
And then in this publication, the first thing they do is put your, as a member, your name and your home address so someone can come and steal your Goldwing right out of your garage. And so I got the newsletter. It's pretty boring. And then I started to see the pictures. They have these events once or twice a year. And I thought, my God, you know, I don't want to be part of that. That doesn't look like fun to me. But what you did looked fun.
Yeah, that looked super fun. So what I did was, so we had a, so the Mercedes-Benz Classic Center invited me to go. Mike Kuntz runs that. And we drove like 400 miles around New Mexico. It was beautiful. We went up. The crazy part to me was we went up to like 9,800 feet at one point. And because it's got mechanical injection, like there was no carburetor to fuck up.
And what did they give you to drive?
Of 1957 Roadster.
Don't you understand?
That belonged to the museum?
The Classic Center. So it's like their little showroom out
the
here.
The Bosch fuel injection system was out of German fighter planes in World War II. That was the advantage that the German fighter planes had. One of the few advantages that they did not stall in a dive. They had direct injection.
Right. That's right. Yeah, so it didn't stall at 9,800 feet. I was shocked. Right. It still had power. Like, I've never experienced that in an old car. Normally, if you ever drive an old car around Colorado, like, it's just, you have no power, and it's the thing dies.
Right.
Anyways, it was super fun. It was super fun. And, it's an older, wealthier crowd, but it was
really
cool.
A supercar. It's still
great.
Is a great driving vehicle.
And every moment in that, and this is the second time I drove that particular car, and like you have one, you know this, but every moment is just like, there's so much theater. Like the turn signal is cooler than every other turn signal, you know, like
the
everything
sound,
about
the
it.
The sound of that fuel injection.
Yeah, great engine.
The mechanical noise of the fuel injection as you accelerate, what a sound in that car.
That's incredible. The only thing I would say is, having now done an extensive road trip in one of those and one in a Gullwing, like, I'm still a Gullwing guy.
It hurts me. It hurts my heart to hear that I never should have sold that car.
It's the best. They're the best.
But you were talking about buying a new one a couple weeks ago.
Well, when you get some dough and I get some dough.
You really want me to spend it all on that?
Yes.
All right.
I have great uses for your money.
me too. Me too.
Can you imagine a true black Rudge Wheel Gullwing? What would be better than that?
Speaking of Rudge, your Speedster's done.
It's coming back next week.
Ooh, it's been
boys. It's coming
how many
back.
Years?
Did you now? Look, well, let's hold up. Next week, all right. Will Hoyt, who's very good. He doesn't want us to speak ill of him on this podcast.
We love him.
He's very good at delivering things that are done. Tell everyone what you're going to tell him 1 week out before that car is delivered so that you can have a perfect delivery experience. Because people ask us this stuff all the time with restorations.
If I was smart and I had time, I would drive my ass down to Long Beach to his beautiful
shop. And drive 10 miles?
And I would drive it around. But I said to him, John Wilhoyt, please put your carcass into that car and drive it and
rotting carcass
and please make sure that the doors close, the seals, but please make sure the horn works. I mean, I can't tell you for whatever reason my luck. Whenever you get a car, whether it's a used car that you've purchased or a collector, something freshly restored, something's going to be wrong. And for me, it seems to be 40% of the time the horn doesn't work. And it just
Richard's in the glass again, this time with his pants,
and it makes me crazy. So I said, please make sure all systems work.
Getting the glass dirty.
Yes.
He's putting his hand on it.
With his fecal-dipped hands and his
feces and jelly. Yes. Zuckerman.
And so I said to John.
Go play with the knives.
But he's got, between John and his right-hand man, Chris Mayring, who does a lot of the shaking down.
Yep.
I am told the car is great.
Well, here's what we need him to do. John, and someone will tell this. Two-man team, and you're right. Yeah. John should get in there. And I would say, knowing you, Zuckerman, and knowing me too, I would almost put up with an engine problem before I would put up with a light problem. I would, John, get in that car and I would have one of your minions stand outside. I would look at every single light. I would test horns. I would test wipers. Most importantly, test those heater boxes. Make sure the heat turns on and then off. We will use those things. Then both of you guys get in the car and see if you notice any stuff. And don't deliver that car until it is exactly Right.
Well, and we could hope, but I said to him, I said, John.
He will do this. He's good.
We've teased John a lot. I, in particular, teased John a lot about how long this takes, but I've been happy to wait for him to do it. In all honesty, no one can do a better job. I mean, there's a, you know, I don't know, you know, Rod Emery can do a great job.
Yeah, like, yeah.
But they, you know, so, but the, he's in the upper echelon. And so, yes, it's been a really long time, but I'm really going to be pleased to have this car back fully restored by John Wilhoit. But I did say, I am looking forward to the fact there will be one or two things that are invariably wrong with the car that I will tease him mercilessly about on the podcast.
Well, I have to do another ad. Guys. We got a lot. Mack Weldon. You guys are busy guys, so stop thinking about what to wear and just embrace the radically efficient Mack Weldon Daily Wear System. The Daily Wear System is a selection of clothes rooted in smart design, made with performance fabrics and built to work together, from breathable t-shirts and polos to stylish button-ups and shorts, underwear and beyond. We'll get some for Richard. Mack Weldon makes it easy for you to dress for work, leisure, and play, or wherever. Again, if you were to call the Mack Weldon people and ask them, is Spike Ferriston one of your customers, they will tell you, I have an account and I order their stuff weekly because I get those joggers, those comfy shirts that I can wear on Zoom calls when I write. And sometimes I go right from there to the gym, and then I'll throw one of their polos on and I'll go right out to dinner, all in one, no showers, smelling like a savage. That's why I like that Mack Weldon stuff. I have a big drawer. Every time they renew, they give us clothes, right?
I mean, I just come over to Paul's and take my pants off.
Did you? We each get a couple $100. My drawers are filled with it. I love this stuff.
I did throw out 4 or 5 bags of clothes this week, so my drawers are ready.
Because you've lost weight.
No, just because, like, I'm doing that. Does this shirt bring me joy?
No, I do that. If I haven't worn it in a year, it goes right into the trash.
That's what I'm doing.
I just did it with 10 pair of sneaks.
Oh, yeah. I did a whole bag of shoes, a bag of hats. Like, it's crazy.
It feels so good, right?
I got to do more.
Well, our school did a shoe drive.
Nice.
Which really makes it easy. And I said, Erica, open up the Model Y back. You can take it all. Anyways, go to Mack Weldon. You know what? They have a little micro site for us, MackWeldon.com/Spike. Enter promo code Spike. MackWeldon.com/Spike. Go there right now. You're going to see our little site. We're very proud. Promo code Spike, 20% off. You're going to love their stuff. It's super comfy, affordable, and great. We love you, Mack Weldon. Goodbye.
Hey, Paul, so your speedster, what year is it?
58.
Okay, so I drove the 57 Roadster. And right. What I was talking with Mike about was, when the guys were building these cars in Germany in 1957, did they think that people would be driving them around in 2021? Like, no, they were just building cars. You know, it's amazing that, like, so many are still on
the
road. Original blocks, like an original block that was, you know, from a foundry in Germany in the late 50s. It's crazy.
Just this morning, I sent Zuckerman and Jerry this restored, colorized video of L.A. in the 50s and New York City in the 40s. And the car's on the road and everything's been up-rezzed and made to look beautiful. And it's all cars that no one's driving right now.
Right.
And then occasionally a Volkswagen Beetle. And you go, oh, those are still there. The Porsche is still there. We're still having fun with those. But the amount of heavy metal on those roads, Zuckerman, right?
Right.
These cars are just great.
Do you know that I think both with respect to Gullwings and Roadsters and Porsches in particular, the percentages of that continue to exist.
Oh, it's enormous.
It's crazy how many continue to exist.
It's also, just a segue to the Aston Martin, something like 90% of all Aston Martins ever built are still on the road.
Is that up till, say, 19 or 2000? I mean, do you really think all DB7s are still on the road?
I think they are because there's some value, especially now with the price of everything, like, shooting up.
Before we get to Aston Martin, and we got a ton of questions to get to, too.
Oh.
You know, I've been thinking a lot, as you know, about these electric vehicles, and people are starting to write about these companies, which are sprouting up all over the place, that are taking vintage cars and turning them into electric cars.
As long as they save the engine, don't throw it out. Take the engine out.
But in a lot of places, they're phasing out, or if you have a daily driver that's a vintage car, you're not going to be allowed to do it without paying a tax or some sort of carbon deal. And I don't know that it's here in the U.S., but Jalopnik was writing about it. But, you know, we've seen these electric 911s around. There's now electric Defenders and the rest. What do you guys think about that?
I think as long as you save the engine. Look, it's going to be off-the-shelf parts that don't fit right. There's very little engineering, proper engineering. You can't move hard points of a vehicle. So if you cut into the structure, then you lose any crash worthiness there was. You lose rigidity. You're adding tons of weight. If you add batteries to a 911, especially a vintage air-cooled 911.
You know, Leno drove the Z Electric. Is that the company that I'm thinking
not, I'm
of?
Not sure.
912. And he keeps talking. He said he loved it. He said it was really engaging and fun.
Yeah, but it's also
But would
like,
you do it is what I'm asking.
I wouldn't, but if you do it, it's on the company to save. You have to preserve, especially if it's a car that's like, you know, that we care about. Save the engine because you never know. Don't destroy it. Don't throw the engine away.
I might do it to a weird car, like a Plymouth Belvedere or something.
Right, exactly. A Matador.
Matador,
really, we have the only electric Matador would be kind of great. Let's add a little more weight to an already unsafe hunk of shit and really have at it.
But I don't like this. I don't think that's cool. When I looked at the old Defenders, the old Land Rovers, and they here's the couple that are, I don't know. That would you'd really have to sell me on that because I get the feeling I'm going to hear so many creaks. And you're saying, it's going to be really heavy and handle worse.
But also, like, you know, you're going to, it's not going to be that good unless you spend $1 million doing it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that good. And then you're destroying a perfectly good classic.
I agree.
The Mercedes G-Wagon, for instance, like I hope, and I know they are, but when Mercedes makes an electric G done right, it's going to be awesome. That's what that car needs.
Yeah.
But if you take an existing G, it's just not going to work.
It's Frankenstein-y.
Yeah.
So we're against it. We're united on this
one.
Yeah. I am too. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. I remember, what's his face? Neil Young was advocating for that.
He had a Lincoln Continental, right?
No, a Cadillac.
Was it a Cadillac?
He drives it to Bills. He shows up at Bills every once in a while.
And a caddy something, you know?
But he was really advocating, but it was like he had 90 miles of range. Like, he was just crippling the car.
It was super cool, though.
Because it looked like a part. Everything really looked like it was falling.
Neil Young, man.
Yes,
whatever Neil
what
Young
I'm saying.
Does is cool.
Yes, he looks like he's falling apart like a crazy old coot. The car looked like a crazy person's car. Everything looked of a piece, and that it did, for sure.
Tonight on the show, Zuckerman takes down Neil Young.
No, he's one of my favorites.
Oh, to live on.
Hey, let me tell you.
Sugar Mountain. Oh, Zuckerman, please. I'm trying to sing.
Hey, listen,
Tin Soldier's a good song. I'll give him
they were all good songs. You know, really, Neil Young is the first grunge rock and roller.
That's ridiculous.
Really?
He just wore flannel.
Schmuck, when he did like Russ Never Sleeps, that's the first grungy album.
Listen, I grew up with
that was invented in the 90s.
I grew up with Billy
I'm
Talbot.
Telling you, it's proto grunge.
I grew up with Billy Talbot.
There was no
Jr.
grunge before
Billy
the
Talbot
90s.
Billy Talbot Sr. was the bass player in Crazy Horse. I know Neil Young more than
what
most
are you
people.
Saying?
He's fine. He's just a folk singer who had a couple heavy
albums.
Yeah,
he's a folk singer.
I used to play his songs too. I'm just saying, don't ruin like a Lincoln Continental.
He's making a point, but no.
Yeah.
And
I've been playing his music since 79. He's a folk singer, rock singer. That's the way we thought of him back then.
Well, yes, and I think CSNY was that album, Deja Vu, may have been one of the best albums
I
of
love
all time.
That. Oh, man.
I like Tin Soldier.
You know what I used to do? I used to bring my girlfriend to the beach. I'd bring that on tape or Four Way Street and have some fruity wine like a White Zinfandel. And we would just sit and look at the stars and listen to that album on the beach in
the
summertime.
One of the greatest albums of all time.
The intensity, Zuckerman, of that experience, that music, just looking up how simple life's pleasures were when you were 16 or 17. Yeah. Unreal. I play it now and I'm transported. My mind is blown by that album.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Let's do some questions.
No Aston Martin?
Nah. Screw
yes.
Aston Martin.
Ton.
Well, okay. It's a cool car.
It's
you
a
might
cool
want to drive
what
it.
Was,
you
what
might...
was it?
All right.
What? Which car?
The Aston
Don't
Martin.
Do a whole thing on it.
Aston Martin Vantage F1 Edition. So it's the first Aston that the new boss from AMG, Tobias Moore, has
did you see the kid?
Had his fingertips in.
The kid's gone?
No, the kid's
Look
there.
At the pool.
The kid's not in the pool.
The Everything dog will okay? keep a good eye on him.
He's under the table smearing jelly.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So it's a good car.
That looks like a cheap rug. Oh, he's coming to look at you. He's coming to look at you. Anyhow,
to touch the windows.
Yeah, it's like a harder core version of a Vantage.
Okay.
And it's cool. You should.
I love those cars.
Oh, wait. He's talking to me.
Okay, you talk to Richard. Let me do this ad, and then we're going to do your listener questions because everybody wrote a lot. We thank you for that. Going online without ExpressVPN is like using your smartphone without a protective case. Most of the time, you'll probably be fine, but all it takes is one accidental drop onto solid
Cronkite.
That's what I was going to say. Concrete. I can't tell you why I was saying that. Concrete to make you wish you had protected yourself. Freud, that's a real Freudian slip,
yes,
right there,
so,
and you'll know
come
why
to you later,
in a
months
year.
Later.
You'll understand. Why does everyone need a VPN? Every time you connect to the encrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, your online data is not secured. Oh, that's a bug sucker. Get it up. Any hackers on the same network can gain access and steal your personal data. I remember reading that story in the New York Times. There was a hacker and a reporter, and as the plane disembarked, he walked up to him and told him everything about what he was doing on the plane. He said, "How do you know that?" He goes, "You're unencrypted, and I was watching you on my computer."
Holy
behind you.
Shit.
You see that story?
Yeah.
Frightening story. doesn't take much technical know-how to hack somebody. My kids can do it, so trust me. Yeah, see, it says a smart 12-year-old. My kids aren't even that smart. Your data is available, and hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling it. So what do you do? You do what I do. And again, I am a customer of ExpressVPN. Yes, I got it for free in the beginning, and then I continued my subscription. You log on, you open up your computer, ExpressVPN automatically connects to one of many different cities, many different countries. We've said before, you can watch Netflix, you can watch Squid Game in England, or blocked content in the U.S. you can watch by connecting to some other hub they have. And simply put, all the traffic comes from one place in Chicago, say, and they don't know where you are starting your search or what you're watching or what you're doing. It doesn't say it came from Zuckerman's house. I can only imagine what he's up to on the computer. So here's what you do. Go to ExpressVPN. What are we offering you today? Oh, we have a microsite there too. ExpressVPN.com/Spike911. ExpressVPN.com/Spike911. You can see our microsite. You're going to get an extra 3 months free. You guys will love this so much. You will not cancel your subscription after 3 until someone offers you a better VPN for free, and right now there isn't one. ExpressVPN.com/Spike911. Let's do some questions, Zuckerman. Johnny's in there managing the diaper kid.
I'm going to have to burn the
sure
house down.
I'm sure there are a lot. Has Johnny shared Standard H? Yeah, he talked about the Rivian on a few shows back. You're going to have to find it. Minimax Pugs, I have questions. Oh, disappointing. Trying to be clever. Thoughts on the new Vanderhall Brawley? It looks like it may be a vehicle from Vanderhall actually worth owning. Have not driven it. Drove one of their earlier cars and enjoyed it. It's an oddity. It's an open cockpity thing. Mm-hmm. And now he's in his underpants, Zuckerman. Look behind you.
No, I'm not looking.
Well, what's up with the pants in the Lieberman family?
They're Liebermans. They're circus folks. They're not normal.
Okay, here's a question for you from autoarts.co. When you buy a new car, as in brand new, what is it and why? I think what they're saying is, what do you have for daily driver? Do you have any normal daily driver vehicles?
No.
Good question. Do you? You drive those BMWs.
For a normal daily driver, though, my newest cars are 911s. The family has more normal vehicles. The family does have a pickup truck for going to Mexico, but not me. I'm not
driving those other cars.
Yeah.
Right. Is it permissible to pass gas in a Plan Z car, says Nevin Pontius.
We just don't talk about that. If it happens,
it's not discussed.
It's not discussed.
Right.
I think I might owe you a new rug.
Yes.
Oh, no. What happened?
He's changed his underwear.
Oh, do I need to change the rug?
I said I might owe you a new rug. We'll investigate.
He crapped on the carpet?
No, it was a little... I don't know what he did. Anyway.
Oh,
he's currently in clean underwear.
I brought my wife's car, so there was an extra change.
There's a little, that's just a soap and water job. Yeah, we all have dogs and kids. That's easy. That we can fix that. You can fix that for
This is why we should do video, because his face. This is what everyone
is. Is there really crap on the carpet?
No, there's no crap on the carpet.
Wee-wee?
No, it's everything's fine. He's just...
What is it then? What's on the carpet?
No, he did a fart, and now he has new underwear on.
You have your kids already sharding at four?
Yes, all kids shard.
It's the bread you gave him. My kids never sharded.
Well, he's a big kid. I don't know. What do you want from me?
Okay, this year was what, it poop
remember
on?
When I said I can't do Friday
this
night?
This is awesome.
And you two okay, were like, oh,
is there poop
Friday
on the carpet?
There's no poop on the carpet.
No, is there any poop juice on the carpet?
No, it was a no.
That's going to
no.
be the title of this episode.
Poop juice.
Poop juice on the carpet.
Zuckerberg's new rug. I think it's a hairpiece.
This is better for me than I imagined it could be, and way worse than you thought it was going to be, Zuckerman. This is the greatest. How can questions even compete with what's happening here? This is awesome.
We should just get him out here. He can crap on the white couch.
He's going to have to say hello.
Pooping.
He can come out and say goodbye to everybody after. We have to introduce him to the audience. He's 100% entertainment. He's welcome anytime we want to do a show.
Never again.
We talked about the speedster. Can Jerry come back? Yes. I don't know if he'll rant again. what did you think? We took him out after that episode, right? Do you think he was embarrassed by his rants?
No, not at all.
He enjoyed them, right?
He enjoyed it. He frankly said it was liberating.
It was liberating, and he hadn't been on stage for a while, and he felt so good after, and he really loves this audience. He really loves the Spikes Car Radio audience.
And what a couple of clever, astute people picked up, they realized he's got a real laugh. Sometimes he's got his work laugh, and then he's got his real, when he's really enjoying himself, when he's really laughing. They heard that.
And he calls all the time, and he's like, are you reading these questions for Bruce Meyer? Are you seeing what they're writing? He loves the audience.
So
he thinks
crazy.
They're so smart, and they ask all the right crazy questions of ownership and collections and this shared obsession, and that we're all misfits and we only have each other. And boy, he really loves coming on. So yeah, he's going to be back. Noah Erdeli, what does Spike do for a living? I have a Dunkin' Donuts franchise in Reseda. I mean, if you were listening, you would know that. Thank you for the podcast. Any chance you can get Jason Kamis on? Vast him a bunch. He's a little flighty. We're big fans. We'd love to have him on.
We are? I mean, yeah, that'd be great.
We're not?
Fantastic. I mean, you know I was on a show with him for years, right?
I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Is he difficult?
Spike's a big fan of mine. No, he's the best. He's phenomenal. One of the greatest.
Now we definitely have to have him on.
Oh, the best.
As long as he doesn't shit on my carpet.
Well, then you can't have him on, can you?
He's welcome.
He might.
Well, Jason Kamisi, you're welcome. Just don't shit on
him. Well, then you definitely can't have him. That was...
Yarchit Kurr. Here's a good question. Thoughts on that Lart like Shart 968 concept car?
Woof.
First of all, does anybody know what it was? I don't.
Yes, it's that green thing.
But what is it?
I don't know.
Who
That's
made
the
it?
Point. I don't know anything about it.
No, I have no idea.
You saw it?
Wait a second.
Don't touch everything. Why does he have to touch everything?
He loves touching things. Let's see. Let me go deal with this.
I was not interested enough to even look at it. It just did. I don't mind when. I mean, it didn't bother me. I don't hate it, but I just didn't. It's not my thing, right? Next 10 years, pick one watch and one car to drive daily. Do we even want to answer that? Do you have an E30, by the way?
Yes, of course.
You do?
An Evo 2 in Macau Blue.
My son is a huge fan of your collection all of a sudden. Found you on Instagram and would like to go for a ride in that.
Which one?
Jack.
Well, okay.
He saw your Mercedes Evo and he lost his mind. And then he was like, oh, he should get an E30. And I was like, yeah, I think he has one. I think he's got one.
So we have to take out both cars, and then we'll...
He wants to drive them, but I'll let him drive at the airport, and he'll lose his mind. He's learning how to... He's in a plane right now, flying over our heads right now.
Those would be two great cars to take out and do a comparo.
It's so funny, though, isn't it, that a kid that age is interested in those cars?
Dude, I was driving the 190 for a couple of days, and the number of people that lose their marbles over that car, I would think it was such a peculiar, rare... thing, such a small slice of the car pie, but people lose it over the 190. People just see people just. 13,
Zuckerman. Why would a 13-year-old?
I don't
care?
Know. Is it like some sort of grand theft? How do they know about these cars?
I don't know. It's cool though, and you're very generous to offer them. Let's see, a little too much driving roads there. No Time to Die is out. Do you have favorite 007 cars? Ooh, Johnny.
Well, you know, the Lotus Submarine will forever be just the greatest thing, yeah. You know, ever, ever, ever. And, you know, the DB6 is DB5, whatever it was. Hard to beat that. I like from the Living Daylights, the V8 Vantage. I thought
that
was super,
that was pretty cool.
Super cool, yeah. With the ski pontoons.
It's so funny. The older I get, the more attracted to 007 merchandise I am.
Right.
That's the stage before Captain's Hat.
You think it's the stage right before? Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm really excited about
seeing... That new watch.
It's great.
That Omega is sick.
I had it.
It's amazing. I know. I saw it.
It's lovely. Yeah. And I'm excited about the movie. I like all the cars they feature in that, because you always see those nice old Land Rovers.
I'll tell you what, the best driving one was the Z3, as lame as that car was in
that
movie.
That was lame. Pierce Brosnan was lame.
I drove a Z3 recently. Like, fuck, that's a good driving car. Just handling. Just, wow, good.
Right.
You know, I drove back-to-back with, like, a Z8 and a Z1, and, like, Z3 was just incredible. Incredible car.
Does Zuckerman have feelings? No.
A lot of feelings.
Brian Drews wants to know, have we passed peak exhaust noise?
Yes.
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 We have.
Yep.
Yes.
It's interesting. I think don't you think these manufacturers finally heard from guys going, I need it quieter in my neighborhood. My neighbors hate me.
You think that Jag was the F-Type was the peak noisy
car? Yeah, for sure.
That new Jeep 392 might actually be the loudest fucking thing of all time. But, you know, it's just one of these funny things, though. Like, people, you know, you're like, hey, there's this new Lucid, and it makes 1,100 horsepower, and it goes 500 miles on a charge. And they're like, yeah, but it doesn't make any noise, so let's destroy the planet. You know, like, noise has gotten way overweighted in terms of importance. You know, like, it's fine. Cars make good noises. All the cars that make good noises still exist. Do we need new great noises? Like, probably not. Probably time to go electric.
More Camisa fans. Get Camisa on. Oh, totally.
Oh,
Jason,
God.
DM me when you're in town. Isn't he up in San Francisco or somewhere?
Yeah, so he lives in Marin. Yeah,
he's in Marin.
I can't wait.
Totally.
I can't wait. Yeah, be wonderful. Be like old times.
Zach Bell says, good Shabbos. Who brought the challah bread? What does that mean?
I brought the rye bread. No, Friday night.
Huh?
Spike is not Jewish.
He's 25%, enough to keep him out of trouble, but not enough to know anything.
He acts Jewish in Hollywood. Yes. It helps his career, but yeah.
I don't. That's a racist, horrible thing to say.
No, it's not.
It helps being Jewish in Hollywood. That's not true.
Really?
You have to be talented. Yeah.
You have
Nobody
to be
cares
talented?
About that. Really?
I guess it's a question of talent.
It is a question of talent.
And
that's
talented.
Been my experience. I'm hiring a bunch of people right now. I don't look for the...
You know about Jews, Lieberman. I'm going to give you three names. Jesus, Freud, and Einstein. Give me... Okay. Those are three important Jews. Give me three other anything.
Somebody wants some help with a Range Rover Sport or a Defender. Definitely the Defender if you're a dude or you're
a
good
gal. Yeah, the new Defender
is
so good.
Yeah, it's
new Defender
great.
Is so good.
You want something that's a little more trucky. A little more off-roady.
But even it has a better ride than the Range Rover Sport. It does everything better.
It's not it's not as around town as nice.
The ride's better. The
I don't agree with
longer
that.
Longer wheelbase, better, more modern air suspension.
The Range Rover Sport is a little more suited to a night out than the Defender is.
I mean, it might be more elegant or something, but the ride quality of a Defender is hard to beat.
They're great. Yeah. I love mine. Justin Orange wants to know, what's your favorite Italian restaurant in San Vicente in Brentwood? Why? I'm not going to restaurants because I don't want to die. If I can sit outside, I will. But until they open up L.A., I'm not going. But Toscana is amazing.
Yeah.
How about that? They're all great. We love our little...
Isn't that where I ran into you right before COVID?
Maybe. I don't think so.
Remember? I was with some dudes and we ran into you at a restaurant.
Bone Ranger.
No.
Trying to pick a fight. Last time you washed a car, I wash my cars. I wash at least two cars a week right in my front yard. I have a little hose. I have all the towels. I got a little sprayer that I hook up, and when I'm bored and I'm upstairs and I need a break to chill out, I'll wash that Tesla from my wife, which gets really dirty because she parks under trees all the time. Do you guys ever wash your own cars?
Yeah, once in a while, but not I take it to a car wash, but yeah.
I don't ever do like a real job. Like I don't order the soap and then I just spray it with a hose and then dry it, and then maybe I'll do a little interior work. I vacuum and I'll do some interior work.
Yeah, I definitely vacuum. I was on Leno's show and on this game show, and I won a car cleaning kit.
Wait, you were on what, You Bet
Kings
Your
of
Life?
The Road. No, the old one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I did that too.
Yeah.
It's with Matt Farron. We won and we never got the stuff.
Oh,
you got the stuff?
We got the stuff, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I need
Alan
that stuff.
Yeah, it was with Alan Stolberg from his motorcycle thing. But anyways, yeah, so, you know, I still have, he gave me like three of them, actually.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I got yours, I think.
I want that stuff.
Yeah, and I use that stuff. It's pretty good.
It works pretty good, right?
Yeah.
It seems like it's all good. The same stuff.
It's all the same stuff. It comes out of one big factory in China somewhere.
I did just buy a new air compressor attachment, some other stuff. I try to do as much as I can because it relaxes me. And it, you know, when I can work on a car on a Friday night at 10 o'clock in the garage with a light on, you know, a little music. If I can do anything, that's a nice time for me. Kids are young. You'll see. who can predict where the GT2 RS market is going? I can't. We thought it was going down. Now it's exploding again.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We lost it. We could have, if we had held on to that car, we would have been making money on that car right
You're
now.
You're kidding me.
No.
It's such a good car.
What's the market?
We would have got out at least for sticker, if not a little above. You know, because they don't, you know, there's no new cars, Zuckerman. There's no new sodas. I was at Bill's. I went to Bill's for coffee this morning, early this morning. His soda delivery guy shows up. He goes, I'm sorry, I have no 7-Up. He goes, what? I know Snapple, no 7-Up. It's all on the shipping containers out in the in Long Beach.
Yeah.
There's no one to take it from the ship to the yard and no one to take it from the yard to the truck to Bill's.
The global supply chain has come to an end.
It's broken.
And that's apparently that oil spill. What happened was because the boats are parked in weird spots, somebody dropped like, you know, an 80-ton anchor on an oil pipeline. And that's what that spill
is. How do you fuck that up?
Because they're docked where they've never been docked before. They just dropped an anchor, and they whoever you know the
you
captain.
Know who else dropped an anchor, Richard, on your coffin, Zuckerman. Here's a question for you, Zuckerman, and this is good. I'm glad someone's bringing this up. This is Ugelli 193, and it's a two-parter because you'll know the second part that you have to tell this story. How much would be enough if Travis Scott offered to buy your 190E? He wouldn't. Would you sell it to him? Tell everybody what happened.
Okay, well, we go back in time. I had my dear friend Eric Keller, who's since passed, a VAG.
Just get to the story. We know.
We don't
have time for a long biography of everybody.
Shut up.
I got
the cleanest 1988 M3 that ever existed. It was Alpine white with a Cardinal interior and 8,000 miles.
Incredible original. Beautiful car.
No one ever had a lower mile E88 E30, and Travis Scott came along and bought it for me at that time for $250,000.
A pillowcase full of fives and tens.
In $20 bills, I used my Ben Baller cash counter. And
he turned that car into a sensation where the Matchbox version of that car, where he launched a whole album on
that whole Cactus Jack
thing. The Matchbox was thousands of dollars.
Everything. That guy's worth so much. Everything he touched turns to gold, but my car turned to shit. And I couldn't.
But the car's worth a lot of money. Didn't he sell that car and made a lot of money on it?
I was talking about auction. I hear it's parked outside rotting.
What is rotting?
Rotting. The car is parked outside rotting. It's just parked outside.
Do you want it back?
No. No, but it was like, yes, it was molested. It was horrible. And so
you gave it to rappers.
They told me he likes.
The first rule of owning a beautiful old car is
told,
do not give it to the entertainment community.
I said I would have a really hard time selling it to him if he wasn't going to take care of it, if he didn't understand what this car was. And his assistants told me, of course, he understands what this car is.
Right.
And I've since been learned that he can't drive a stick, that the clutch is completely fried, that it's not movable, that it just was trash.
If he doesn't
can't drive a stick, why would you want an E30 M3?
But get to the second part of the story.
Which was?
You loaned another car out recently, remember?
I did?
Yes, for a photo shoot last week.
Oh, for fuck's sake, to think I forgot this. All right, so I meet this great kid. Dexter Navy, okay? I meet this kid, Dexter Navy, at Coffee on Fairfax. And I just, he was sitting at the table across from me. I could just tell he's like this great, interesting guy. He's got to be under 30, I think, but he just seemed so interesting. So we exchanged some pleasantries, and I heard he was a photographer. And so I turned on to Instagram and my Instagram and vice versa. And he messaged me and said, could I use the 190 for a photo shoot? And I was like, nah, I ain't going to do that. And then he kind of asked me, and this was just, you know how somebody just asks the right way. I can't tell you exactly how he asked, but somehow, 9 days ago, I found myself driving the 190E out to Northridge myself in traffic to bring him the car for a photo shoot. I get to this photo studio. I have no idea what the hell he's going to be shooting, and it's part of the ASAP crew. Okay, it was
ASAP Rocky.
No, it was ASAP Nast and some of his crew, and they are relaunching the Sergio Tacchini clothing brand. What? And I have to tell you that
the hip hop community once again gets another one of Zuckerman's cars.
Right, and I have to tell you that. But I got to tell you, ASAP Nast was. These guys were so fucking fun and so fucking cool, and they had a good time, and they were respectful. At one point, Nas did say to me, do you mind if I lean on the hood? And he was kind of leaning back gently on the hood, and after a few minutes, I said, Nas, I said, I'm getting anxiety. You got to get off of the hood. And we were joking around. I mean, he's a lovely, classy guy, and mm-hmm. Dexter Navy is after – one day he'd be a worthy guy to have a little talk with about where he's coming from and what he's doing out there. But he does all sorts of stuff for the ASAP crew. He's
so you let them sit on the car in the hood
for one second.
And then what happened? You called me and said, I can't let you do it anymore.
I said to him, I don't remember what I said. At the one point, you mean the part where
I'm sweating.
Where I said to him, you're giving me anxiety. And he said, I'm so fucking rich, I'll buy this bitch. And I said, and we were laughing about that.
That
he said,
really
I'm
made
so
me
fucking
laugh.
Rich. I mean,
I'll just buy it. Well, that's not really the point.
And then I don't know. And then
I'm rich too. I like my car. Can you?
And then he said, you know what people do when they think you have something special? They take what they think the car is worth and then double it. You know?
Yeah.
And he said, I'll give you $250,000 for this. And I said, well, I guess you and I can share it with each other.
Right, right. You can have half. Yeah.
Yeah, you can have about half of that car.
Wow.
Yeah, and
no more shoots, Zuckerman, okay?
You know what, though?
I've seen so many cars ruined on shoots. I've personally ruined them. The Newman's NSX in Seinfeld. Andy, Robin, and I, after we were done shooting, we beat the crap out of that thing in the lot at CBS Radford, just doing donuts, just ripped it.
You're a piece of shit, that's why. These guys were fucking
great. I'm with
Zuckerman
here.
I'm going to tell you something. To see these guys in Sergio Tacchini, you remember these clothes, like it was the original kind of street sport wear from the 80s and 90s. To see them in it, to see them kind of hanging around the car, and to see how they reacted to the car and knew what it was. Again, that this somehow, this 190E, which no one's ever really seen in real life in this country, this 2.5 Evo 2, how do they know what it is and why do they love it?
It's a legend. It's cool. A legend, you know?
Yeah.
YouTube videos and,
it looks
and
great.
Stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, but that's great. That's
Ben Oregon wants to know. What's your apocalypse getaway vehicle? I'll tell you, Ben, I think about this a lot. there are times in the middle of the night where I go, what's the, earthquake, rebellion, some sort of comet strikes, wildfire, what am I going to use? It's my Defender. It's that new Defender. I got to get a little shower hookup. I got to get that rack. I could load that thing up. A little.
You don't want the rack.
Little
it's
gun
such
safe.
A waste of time. They go next door to you.
It's a question. What would I do? It would be that. It would be the Defender. Johnny.
I would have two. I would get, and we did this when I did the cross-country thing. I get the Rivian and I get a T-Rex. And the reason why is...
How do you charge the Rivian?
Well...
in an apocalypse.
Right. You tow it with the T-Rex and you can do a flat tow with it and it rapidly charges the battery. So you tow it if you need
really?
To.
Really?
Yeah. They don't like to advertise this. Yeah, but it's kind of a complex thing. You get somebody in the Rivian, you put it in reverse, and you gently touch the accelerator while you're being towed the wrong way, and it's like regen braking, and it just rapidly fills the battery up.
What about you, Zuckerman? No apocalypse for you?
guess what's going to happen? All you schmucks are leaving, and I'm going in your houses and stealing your shit. And I'm staying put and living on everything you guys left behind.
That's a good point. He can only live in one house at a time, so I'll take one of his houses.
Oh, boy. Some of these questions are really lost. If I look like a girl, what, on the picture of the hack account? What is, sir, please, Mr. Batian. Do King Dan wants to know, are we ever going east? You know, we will. It's just, I can't wrap my head around unnecessary travel for car events right now.
How about it? I've got a different
idea.
I just
can't.
If we could, we do a road trip cross country in one big car, and we stop places and do the show.
That would be a nightmare.
So often. Yes.
But like, we could fly to New York and hang with Jerry and do a show. That would be fine.
But now, Ferris, did you say conflict? Conflict is good for the show. Because
it is.
If we're driving cross country and we got to stop in Gallup, New Mexico, we're going to have a lot to yell about by the time we get
that
there.
That could ruin everything.
Could you imagine, if the three of us were in a car for 10 minutes together?
Like, it would not be good.
You would pass gas and feces like your son in one, fell swoop, and then we'd
feces
be screwed.
Feces would be the least of your worries.
Yes.
I like this question too, Greg. How much more fun are your podcast talks together than the rest of your average week? In other words, is this hour recognized?
This is the best part of it. This is the best part of the week?
It's pretty good.
Back to the video thing. If anyone could see what I look at, this view, I'm looking at all of Los Angeles.
We did a live. You missed the live. We did a live before and we showed him.
Look at this. You know,
it's gorgeous.
This is the best.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
It's better when my kid's at home. But other than that, it's great.
Let's see.
We have a lot of fun doing this.
Let's see if there's anything else I want to get to. Watches, cigars.
We are smoking. We should give a plug.
Go ahead.
Beautiful, wonderful tatuajes. You are smoking a Kappa Especial.
It's great.
That's one of my favorites. I'm actually low on those. And I'm smoking a Frank. This is, to cigar nerds listening, this is like, you know, the... it's very special.
The Frank footer.
Frank. B. All Road has a good question. I like this. Most of us here, including us, consider ourselves highly skilled drivers. I would say all three of us do. But what's the dumbest thing each of you has ever done behind the wheel that may have resulted in a collision or at least a close call?
I've been known to piss in a bottle at high speeds, which is pretty dumb.
And was that dangerous?
Okay, when you're driving a stick on the freeway, going fast, trying to piss in a bottle, it's not...
just because you don't want to stop.
So wait, how much urine did you get in the car?
I'm pretty good at it.
So then this Richard incident doesn't bother you that much.
No, that does. My own piss doesn't bother me as much as your piss.
You're projecting, I think, is what's going on.
What about you, Johnny?
I haven't done that many dumb things. Besides my day job, which is like, you know, going 125 miles an hour on Angeles Crest. I once got in a fight while I was driving, physical fight with a guy. We spun about three times on the freeway. Didn't hit anything, miraculously.
Wow.
I was in high school, possibly while high, and I was pretty stupid.
And we know Ferrison. We can go back to one of the earliest shows that we've ever done. And Spike admitted probably season one, episode 7, to chucking himself off while driving
a 74 911 at midnight back to my parents' house.
That's when I was a young man. That's very Charles Mingus of you.
I was bored.
Wow.
And
to be able to finish, to actually do the chucking, is it really, I don't know how
I've
one does that.
I've had someone do that to me.
I'd never be able to complete.
I've done it, but I wasn't doing it. It was being done.
Don't you worry about? I mean, I worry now just about distracted driving. Anytime I hit anything, I'm so down on myself. But I can't think of any really stupid thing that I did recently. I'm on a pretty good run of not doing.
Knock on wood.
I mean, I was thinking about testing cars with Matt Farah in Detroit, and the one rule we had for Car of the Year was don't hit the airport lights. We were at that Detroit Municipal Airport, and I pushed too hard on a Corvette, and I slid right through the airport lights and destroyed those.
I got lucky. When I first started at Motor Trend, I thought I was, like, super hot shit, and we were doing, it was, like, SUV of the Year, and we were shooting a video, so we're driving around for camera,
And I was in like, I don't know, like a Jeep or something. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to like drift it for the camera guy. I didn't know how to drift. I didn't know what I was doing. I was in the wrong car. And like, I just saw his face because I almost hit him. And his face was just like,
yeah,
fuck you, you fucking rookie idiot asshole.
Oh, here. Okay. Yeah. Here. You want to, I'll tell you two embarrassing things that I did. And I know I'm never going to hear the end of this. This is bad shit that I did. And it was not intentional. This is just under the heading of, look at Zuckerman, immediately looks up.
He's taking notes.
Here's one.
He's taking notes.
I was taking, you know, as you know, I'm obsessed with tennis right now, and I'm playing, and I'm so excited about it. But remember when it was hot 2 weeks ago, 90 degrees, and it was Sunday, and I was already tired. And after an hour of a tennis lesson of just really stinking up the court, and I've got a great teacher, but I'm just not there yet. I drove off with the Tesla rear hatch up onto Sunset fast, jumping in front, and get all of my shit fell out. Thankfully, not my tennis racket. All of it fell out and was run over by a Tesla behind me, and I was laughing.
Oh, you stupid.
That's an LA story.
So lucky I didn't hit the hatch up. I was going under this tree. I'm so lucky I didn't destroy the rear. But that's not the most embarrassing thing. You guys are going to crucify me for this.
Okay, let us have it.
Please.
I wasn't even going to bring it up.
I've been waiting
because it's so embarrassing and it's so stupid.
Stop trying to make a virtue of this. Come on.
I'm not. I'm truly embarrassed by how dumb I am when I did this. Okay. My wife took the Tesla out and parked it under, was at some protest, and parked it under a sappy tree and brought it back that evening covered in hardened sap on the front windshield. Like those big droplets.
Drops are horrible.
And I was like, God, you know, and I wanted to drive that car the next Saturday morning. And what did I do? I said, I'll get that stuff off.
Oh, you scratched the window, the windshield?
I took a Brillo pad.
Oh.
You stupid piece of shit.
Razor blade. Take a razor blade.
And that dumb?
A Brillo?
And I ripped apart the windshield.
Yeah.
And halfway through, I went, oh, wait, there's a plastic coating on this.
I'm nodding my head. Yeah, there is. Yeah.
And I went down that crazy, fixed the scratch wormhole through a variety of vendors to get to the inevitable result of
replacing the windshield.
You need a new windshield. Yeah. There's nothing will fix that.
When did you do this?
Like two or three weeks ago.
Was it
before the tennis lesson. And it's the dumbest car thing I've ever done.
Why a Brillo pad? Like there's Goo Gone, there's razor blades.
I woke up. I was tired. I didn't have my coffee.
A metal
thinking.
Brillo pad?
I took a metal. Yeah, yeah.
Metal's good on glass.
No, it'll get the sap right off.
Yeah, and it'll get the glass right off too. Yeah.
And I woke up while I was doing it going, oh, wait, I can't. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
okay, look, I'm being honest with the audience here. I'm telling the truth.
Okay,
that's a really
brave,
dumb thing.
Brave and stupid.
Yeah.
You're brave for admitting it, stupid for doing
you.
It.
Yeah. I think
you
reverse the order. but glass, because safety glass, windshield glass is mostly glue anyways. So you're rubbing
but
glue.
Wouldn't you agree? Now, there's this gigantic market of products that say they can fix the scratches with a compliment of YouTube video showing
bullshit.
How it.
Yeah.
None of it works.
No, none of it. Yeah, it's like that.
I used to love that guy on late night TV in the 80s that would take, this car's been out in the sun for 7 years and now we're going to put this.
I called one of my better detail experts. He sent me the guy. He went at it. He goes, nothing can fix this.
You know why?
There's no way. There's no powder. There's no poultice. There's no nothing. There's no heat. None of it is real.
You remove with a Brillo pad though. You're like removing material. So you're
scratching plastic. Anyways.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty
depressed.
Good. All right. Well, you know.
There's our show.
That's the show.
Let's end on Spike is stupid.
Let's bring it here. Bring you
for the latest
you
episode
that.
Of Spike is stupid.
It. Bring your son in here so he can say hi to everybody and meet everybody.
Okay. Hang on.
We'll take a picture.
His feet are in the air.
His feet are in the air.
Why are the feet up in the air? My house is going to be destroyed.
That's all right.
Yes, the harmless child.
Lots of Blue Chew questions. You know, Blue Chew is very controllable. You will not have an out-of-control reaction to it. You can control it. And you need the pharmaceutical
the stimulus.
And the stimulant, right.
You need to be turned on in the release of the hormone that makes the blood flow, and then this
yes, and
this
then it
increases
will help.
It.
Yes, it increases.
But you can't. You're not going to take it and look at your friend Richard is in the lunchroom and get a boner unless you want to.
Is he not coming in? Huh?
Now what has he done?
Oh, nothing. It's just it's several hours past his bedtime, and he's very like, oh, no.
Okay, let's I need to get in and get the carpet cleaner from the local Ralph's.
I think
the
he
steam
could,
cleaner.
He could pee on the carpet, though. We give him a few more minutes. He could.
Well, that's our show, everybody. We'd like to thank Manscaped, ExpressVPN, Mack Weldon for sponsoring us, and, of course, Hodinkee Pre-Owned. Check them out. They sort those watches before they sell them. That's our show. We will see you next week on Spike's Car.
Good night.
Ciao.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.